somebody who met with some of the October 7th survivors is Heinz Winkler. He's the winner, of course, of the first series of South African Idols. He's a pastor at Love Key Church, and he is somebody we've spoken with before, just sharing some of the positivity and the love that he has for Israel. Heinz, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us again. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So how did you land up meeting with this particular survivor who we'll talk about in just a moment?
So I'm very privileged to be friends with Mark and Vivian Myberg from ICEJ. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of let me know about things that's going on in the community in South Africa that supports Israel and the Jewish people. And she knew about my new podcast that I started. I started a podcast show called the In Hindsight Boldcast, where the idea is to have, you know, conversations with knowledgeable people about current events and things that matter. And she told me, listen, don't you want to interview these people? I've got a delegation from Israel. And I was very lucky to catch them sort of in an hour or two before they had one event. Mm-hmm. And then they would have another one. And I was able to quickly sit down with this lady, Shai, who survived Nova, and another lady called Julnar. She's a Druze Israeli who wasn't directly attacked herself, but she is here on almost like a diplomatic mission to speak on behalf of minorities in Israel, to just give what's really going on, sort of that angle. So both these interviews I was able to do, and I was really personally deeply impacted by their stories and their firsthand accounts of what's really going on, especially coming from young women who don't have any other ulterior motive other than just sharing their real story.
So tell me, let's talk about Shai. What impressed you most about her? What was her story?
Well, you know, it's already been almost 2 full years after the incident, and to speak to someone that survived such a horrific thing, you would expect someone who's, you know, kind of down, slightly depressed, at least slightly depressed or whatever. She came in. She was a absolute ray of sunshine.
Nice.
Just gleaming positivity, big smile, and she's in a personality, she's just a very warm and loving person. And so that was my first impression, is this, you know, exuberant, passionate, zealful young lady. And then she tells a story, and you know, like, what? How did you go through that? And, you know, are exactly able to sit up straight and smile. And she told me that, you know, one of the things that I found really amazing was she said that Israel, the government, they really took this seriously, and they set up centers everywhere in Israel for survivors to go for psychological help and input, and, you know, just to help them process the trauma. And she said that that helped her personally a lot. The fact that she was through that whole thing and had this testimony, it was just amazing.
Was it her story that they escaped, they landed up taking cover, firstly under a bush, and then they ran again, and then they landed up taking cover near a tank, and they fought the terrorists for hours upon hours?
Yeah, it was just incredible. My favorite part of her story is where because she's a secular Israeli.
Yes,
she doesn't really follow the faith.
Yes.
Yeah, so she's very much into the New Age stuff and whatever.
Yeah, trance.
But she had a moment where she was running for her life, hiding. And then she said, I just felt something tell me, go back to your car.
Wow.
And when she got to her car, it was the only car that had not been shot at, bombed, or destroyed in some way, and it was still functioning. And she got in the car, and other people that survived as well jumped in the car with her. And you should listen to the interview. It was a whole thing. But I said to her, what do you think that small voice was that told you to go to your car? And she eventually, at the end, she said, it was Hashem. And I was like, that's amazing. I think that's amazing that she had a moment You know, because she said at one point, this was the other powerful part. She was with a bunch of young guys who they grabbed wherever they could find weapons. They killed like two terrorists and were able to get their weapons. And then, I mean, this is the great thing about the Israeli young people who all have to go for conscription.
Yeah, they
all know how to handle themselves. So they were able to defend themselves for quite a while. And after a while, they ran out of ammunition, and it was a really dire situation. And she said at one point, this one guy just shouted to everyone, "If you're not shooting, start praying." And then they all started praying the same prayer.
Wow.
And she said within half an hour, the shooting stopped, the enemy was gone, and they all survived. And that just really made an impression on her, and obviously on me as well. It's a powerful story to hear her first-hand account tell.
It's incredible. I mean, I'm sure you know this, but for any of our listeners who don't, is when the soldiers have what they call a tekes, their parade, where they are almost like graduating, or they join the IDF, they are given a Bible as well as a gun. They get both. If they're Muslim, they'll get a Quran and they'll get a gun. But the fact is that this is very much part of it. And I think that's incredible that they were fighting. And then either you're fighting or you're praying, but you've got to do one of those two.
Yeah, if you don't have a gun, do something and pray.
It's fascinating. In your experience as a pastor, do you see a lot of these? I mean, obviously not a lot of these type of events, thank God, but a situation where people are in this absolute crisis and they're just shown the way, and that slowly starts to change their whole perception.
Yeah, you know, when you read the Bible and the accounts of the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, well, what's Old Testament to us, you see all these incidences of, you know, physical war and physical attacks and people speaking about that. But we know that, you know, life also has a lot of non-visible attacks, but are very real in the sense of the things that we face and the stuff that we have to go through. And I just always tell my people that, listen, you are not exempt when you're a believer from tough times. In fact, the Bible, in a way, promises that we will go through tough times. It's about what you do in the tough times and how you approach it and how you react. And you know, if I can take anything from Shai's story and the other people who were with her, it is to face the enemy, face the fear, face the tough situation, and put your trust in God, put your trust in Hashem, and see how the situation will shift. And that's always the best thing. And then on top of that, I always tell my people, you know, I think from my own experience that God loves us so much that if we are not fully dependent on Him, He will allow things to come to a point where we feel like we've hit a rock bottom, like we don't know what else to do. And then we cry out, "Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me."
Yeah.
And then it's like God goes, "Okay, finally, you know that you can't do this without me." So I think those situations are part of life, and it's there for us to stay dependent on God.
You know, my late father always used to have this thing, and he would say, sometimes you're just fighting a situation, no matter what it is, personal, family, work. And he says, you know, you get to a point that you say, that you need to say, "Okay, God, you know what, I'm really doing my best here. But, you know, I would appreciate just a little bit of guidance from you," because that moment is the recognition that, you know what, it's you got to do what you got to do. You got to keep fighting those terrorists as hard as you can. But at the same time, recognize that there is somebody else, a greater,
absolutely,
greater force that is going to guide you. I absolutely love chatting.
I say something?
Yeah, sure.
I love the story about King David when he just starts out as king. There's these two first incidences where God tells him to go up against the Philistines, and He gives him a strategy, and he does it, and he's successful. And then the enemy comes again. But then what I love about the account is that David doesn't assume that he should do exactly the same thing. He goes back to the Lord and he says, "Lord, what must I do now? What must I do this time?" And God gives him a different strategy for this attack, And he does that, and he's successful. And that for me was a beautiful picture of just really trusting God in every situation, never assuming that this enemy or this attack I need to address the same way, but keep just staying dependent on him to show you the way.